We are so glad that you made the choice to join us today as we dig into the Word of God. This is Laura Perino, and I'm here with my friend Debbie Keever. So sit back, relax, and join us in the conversation.
Well, welcome back to Beyond the Building. Guys, we are in the month of April, looking at the topic we're calling seasons. And Laura Perino and I are joined with my friend, Valerie George. You're back again, Val. So welcome back. You are a buddy of mine from Ocean City, New Jersey. You are co-leading a Bible study with me down there this summer. But you can find Valerie George if you want to Google her information. We'll put the links in the bio. You can know ministries. And you are a phenomenal friend. You're a phenomenal leader, Bible study teacher. And I'm just so excited to have you back.
Thank you so much, Debbie and Laura, for having me. It's exciting to be here. I love it when the Lord gives us a lesson to share with others and just a word from Him that's been so special to me. And so I'm just thankful to be here and share that with everyone.
All right. I have to start out saying that I know you guys are co-teaching, like Deb just shared, a Bible study in Ocean City at the Ocean City Tabernacle. And there is a summertime series coming up called Set Free. And this makes me want to move my location for the summer
right there at Ocean
City. Come join
us. It's not really possible. However, I would love to be a part of what God is doing through the two of you, Ocean City. I know there's many ladies that are going to be very, very blessed. And so I'm super, super excited for you guys. Super excited to be here to hear what God's put on your heart, Val.
Yeah. So this lesson's awesome. Seasons with the Shepherd. I think as I came up with this topic from Psalm 23, there's this book, you know, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Mm-hmm. It's not new. This is the new cover. You might have the older version. You might need to go pick up this version, but it's an excellent perspective on Psalm 23, because it's coming from a shepherd and what it's actually means to be a shepherd, what it looks like. And it actually explains that Psalm 23 is the whole year. So you're seeing seasons of the sheep's life and seasons of the shepherd with the sheep and how the shepherd's caring for the sheep through those seasons. And I know each of us here is going through a new season or is leaving behind a season. And it's just a challenge to change. And so hopefully today's message will resonate with ladies and our friends that are listening, that they'll just be touched to trust the shepherd and where he's leading them.
Amen. Amen. This is going to be so good. I am pretty psyched for this. And I love that because it really is. I love just what you started with. It's about encountering his presence in every season that we're in, going in or coming out of, right? And the fact that our father or our good shepherd in this case, he knows every detail about everything in our lives in every season that we're in. I mean, this is just like mind-boggling stuff that makes me very, very excited. So Val, what would the key seasons be that you're going to share about in this podcast?
I think it's just that. It's that the shepherd's with us in all of them. So we're going to go through the sheep's life from, you know, the season when they're home at the ranch to then moving up the mountainside and up to the high plateau where it's just an amazing season where they become full and fit and strong. And then they come back down through the autumn season back to the home ranch. And so, and the shepherd has painstakingly prepared the way for the sheep to take this journey with him. And so it's all of the seasons really. And it's like, which one really applies to you and where are you today?
Wow.
So I shared in the first podcast last week that this topic is raw for me right now, because literally I'm in a season of leaving one to go into the next. So your statement that you just made about the shepherd, I mean, the shepherd prepares the sheep and prepares the way. I mean, that's, I think you just need to make a poster for me of that statement. Like he's prepared it already. So it's resonating. And it's all good. It's just hard, right? Changes are hard. So I think as we go through this passage in Psalm 23, gosh, this is not going to be easy. But I'm glad it's real, right? We're being real.
Yes.
dive in. Laura, why don't you and I divvy this up as we read it, since
Yep.
Val's going to be teaching us and the Holy Spirit is just pushing my back up against the wall on this, on the changes. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Val, I cannot wait to hear your thoughts.
Well, let's jump in verse by verse. I'm a verse by verse, phrase by phrase kind of girl, and a word by word sometimes. So let's just start with verse one. The Lord is my shepherd. And let's just hold it there. The Lord. Who is the Lord? He is the magnificent, mighty, powerful one. And that I can claim so well. Like I can hold on to that one and know that one. But to know that he is the good shepherd that tenderly cares and painstakingly prepares the way for us has blown my mind. And that's what I'm looking forward to about today. But then it says, my shepherd. And I think we have to take heed to that word, my. That means ownership, right? So think about everybody that has a pet, right? You have a pet, you own that pet, you love that pet, you care for that pet, you feed the pet, you take it to the vet, you do all the things you need to do for that pet. I might look at Debbie's pet and think, oh my gosh, your puppy's so cute and I'm so glad you're taking good care of it. But I'm not caring for Debbie's pet the way I care for my own. My dog's name is Mac. I love him. I care for him. He's mine and I am his. And that's that relationship God wants with us. And I would ask all of our listeners today, have you fully surrendered to your master? I know it's such a weird word today. It has such bad connotations, but he is our good shepherd and we can trust him and we are to surrender. So I would ask you by the end of this episode, are you ready to surrender? So let's keep talking about what a good shepherd he is and how much he loves you and the reasons we should surrender our lives to him. And the next part of that verse says, I shall not be in want, right? I lack nothing, depending on your translation. And what does that mean? That means we're completely content with the care we are receiving from our good shepherd. We are completely at peace, completely at peace. You know, and I think about this, why does David compare us to sheep? How are we similar to sheep? You guys have any thoughts? How are we similar to sheep?
We need to follow somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, sheep are not designed to be the shepherd. We are not designed to be the ultimate leader.
Right. We need to follow. Sheep need a leader and they need to follow. Amen. Mm-hmm. What else? Do you have one, Laura, you think? How are we similar to sheep?
We don't make the right decisions all the time. We go on our own way. But I also, every time I think about sheep, I think about head down, because they're feeding all the time. And so in my mind, they're not seeing the full picture, yeah, right? Because right. They're sheep down the street. Their head is constantly down. I never see their eyes. So we don't see the full picture of what the path is in front of us.
Amen. We don't see the full picture. And even in this book, he uses very strong language and he just says, we're stupid. He says, we're stupid.
I didn't want to say that.
I know, but so I'm just throwing it out. He says it. I'm not saying. I'm just repeating what I heard, right? Like, but we do. We keep our heads down. And one of the things the shepherd prepares on the way is the poisonous plants. He goes ahead and makes sure he rips all that vegetation out. But sometimes it grows back. And as the sheep have their head down and going, he uses his staff to pull them out of that, to pull them back in line with where he wants them to go. So absolutely that we, and the other, some of the other things is fearful. Sheep are fearful, easily scared. Can't we relate to that? Aren't we easily afraid of what's coming next? It's not going to be as good as what we just had. Or maybe that terrifying thing that happens and you're like, right? Like we're easily scared, but the presence of the shepherd gives us comfort and peace, you know? And then the other thing too, is sheep have mob instincts.
Yeah. We don't see that anywhere today.
No, no. So that creates that mob instinct of, and then feeding that, like we feed that mob instinct with what we want to hear, right? That's all the social media and the internet, which is such a great thing, but it's also a very divisive thing because we feed ourselves with what we want to hear, as opposed to listening, listening to all sides and then following the right way. I'm not saying go the wrong way. I'm just saying, listen and have a conversation. Don't just feed yourself with one thing and only talk to those people. Right? Like we need to talk to a group of people. And then the last thing that he mentions in that book is that our habits is sheep have habits and whether they're good or bad, they have habits that are hard to break. And don't we have habits that he needs to break? So all of that. And so, but God wants us to feel that we don't need to be in want, right? We need to be completely content, completely satisfied. And God is our good shepherd that's going to do that for us. Amen. So then the next verse says, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. So this one I love because it says, four requirements are needed for a sheep to lie down and rest and go at peace. And so they are free from fear, free from friction with their own kind, free from torment of pests, flies, all those kinds of things, and free from hunger. So I look at that and think, okay, like I said, sheep are easily scared, right? So free from fear, but free from friction, that tension that we all experience with other believers, other friends, family, all of that. Like the shepherds, do you know how they the shepherd calms that down for sheep? His presence. He just goes and stands near them. And it all calms down. And so I would encourage anybody that's experiencing friction in a very simple way, turn your eyes to Jesus, call his presence close to you, be in the word, be in prayer, and it's going to melt away. There's work to be done. I'm not trying to oversimplify, but his presence is what helps freeze us from friction.
And then, you know, there was something for me when I used to, when I was studying this before, Debbie was the sheep, Debbie would want to be frolicking in the green pasture versus laying down. Like I would be like, I have finally arrived and it's like all going well. And it's just a great place to be. And laying down in that place doesn't really fit what my personality tends to do. And so I remember one time the Lord gave me a choice. He said, you can either lay down and kind of like take a Sabbath, take some rest time, or I will help you. I will help you to have to lay down. And when you look at that, he says, he makes me lie down, makes me. And I will own up to there were some times where some injuries or sicknesses like quarantined me, you know what I mean? In like one of my most favorite places to have a vacation. And I was quarantined for 5 days with COVID and God's like, I'm making you to lay down. And what I thought was going to be like the worst 5 days ended up being really, really sweet time with his presence. Cause frankly, that's all I had was his presence. So what you're saying about his, we can get our eyes off of that. But for me, Debbie doesn't do well lying down in green pastures. She likes to run around in it. And he's like, I you give you a choice, the easy way or the hard way. You know, I will have time with you here.
That's beautiful though. That is so good. That's really good. And, yeah, he's so good, but he frees us from torment too. And I think about the diligent care it takes to free a sheep. It takes involvement and complete knowledge of what that sheep is going through. And he's looking for first signs. He has to endure expensive and laborious treatments to really calm the sheep and calm the torment that they're experiencing. And that's the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, his involvement is ready to assist and protect us. It's just, it's a gift to us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, free from hunger. This is one of my favorite parts that stood out to me as I read this book this time was that the shepherd goes ahead and frees the land of rocks and brush and roots and stumps deep plowing and careful soil preparation so that he can seed and plant and irrigate. And that takes so much time. Like my one girlfriend bought this lake property and they blazed a trail. She's like, I now understand what it means to blaze a trail because they cut trees down. They had to dig out stumps. It was intense. It did not take 2 seconds. And that's what the shepherd does for us.
Yeah.
As he's preparing the way for us. Like that to me was so exciting. It's like, ooh, and sometimes I trip on those, you know, the brush, but he's clearing that out for us so that we have a clear path. And this is what Jesus does for us. He gives us a life of victory because he's cleared the path. And so we just need to submit and follow where he's leading.
Absolutely. Awesome. You know, one of the things I love about what you've just shared, because as you're going through all of this, these lists of qualities of a sheep and the shepherd relationship, I was like, all of these things are true because the shepherd knows the sheep so well. That the shepherd knows what the sheep needs, the things that the sheep is prone to wander into, right? The shepherd knows the sheep because the shepherd created the sheep, right? Yes. And so if we take this right back to us, which I'm sure we're, you know, that's exactly what this is all about, right? The shepherd knows the sheep because the shepherd created the sheep. And I think when you think what you've just talked about, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I don't have to want because he created me. And so I should want to follow him. Why would we not want to follow the one who knows us so intricately and is only going to lead us for our good and his glory?
You know, but it gets really hard. It's hard to do that because like the next line is he leads me beside quiet waters. And so this is sharing that in the land of Palestine, Jerusalem, the sheep, the shepherd would lead the sheep down a path to these cistern type caves that have pure water in there that's refreshing. But what happens is the sheep stop at these muddy puddles because they don't know what's ahead. And these muddy puddles are disgusting and they should not be drinking them because it will most likely make them sick. But in their own head, they're like, well, I don't know where this is going. Like, look, it's dark down there. Why would I follow him down there? Like there's dew right here. Like, let me just drink this. But the shepherd's going, no, follow me all the way.
Amen.
All the way to the living water, which is Jesus Christ. Follow me all the way. Will we? Do we? That is a challenge. Challenge for me. Like it's a challenge to go all the way into that cistern because it can be scary. But that's the quiet waters that he's leading us to. So that to me was like awesome.
That's huge. It's huge.
And then the other part is the dew-drenched vegetation. The shepherd knows to get you up early and take you out because sheep actually don't need to drink a lot. The dew that comes in the morning is enough as long as they're out in the morning. You know, and that's, are we in the word in the morning? I know my day goes much better if I'm in the word first thing. I am not a morning person. So getting up early for me is not a, does not really work. I prefer to do it at night, but I know my day goes so much better if I have the word in me from the get go. You know, and that's the example of these sheep. So let's keep going. So the next one is he restores my soul. And I think you guys will relate to this one as well. So in this book, he says it's about the shepherd constantly looking for cast sheep. A cast sheep is one that flips over on its back and can't recover on its own. And the shepherd has to come and right the sheep, right? So what causes a cast sheep? Well, number one, they're looking for comfort. They're looking for a soft spot to lay down. And what happens is it's kind of like a hole and then they flip. So that comfort that they're looking for ends up flipping them. So for us, the translation would be the easy life, right? I don't want any hardship. I don't want to have to endure or persevere. I want everything good now. You know, I don't want to have to go through that thing. And then no demand for self-discipline. Are we willing to discipline ourselves instead of just the comfort, easy life? And we know as Americans, especially, we want an easy life. We just want it all. It's what everybody else has it. Can't we just have an easy life? And then the next thing for a cast sheep is self-indulgence. Okay. Way too much wool. Their wool is just overwhelming. And do you guys know what wool symbolizes in the Old Testament? I don't know if you know.
Go ahead.
It symbolizes pride and self and personal preference. And so I actually hit this when I taught at the Tabernacle. I was like, is your personal preference Debbie teaching or me? You know, like, and you saw me up here and you went, oh man, Debbie's not here today. Right. And I, you know, but God can use all of us, and it doesn't matter what our particular preference is. It matters, are we following and leading? Mm-hmm. But that wool, we have to let the Lord shear us and take that wool off so that we have freedom to move and to move in the Spirit and to walk and not get cast because our wool is too heavy. We can't carry that anymore. We have to let him cut it off. And the shearing process is not fun for the sheep, but it's necessary so that we can walk free and we can walk in that freedom. Like Debbie and I are going to talk about in Ocean City this summer.
Not just a shameless plug for that, I'm sure.
I can't help, you know. Yeah. Like, you know, it is. You know, and then, you know what the last one is for cast sheep? They're too fat. Too fat. They're just too fat, because a sheep needs to be strong, sturdy, and energetic, not flabby and weak. And so think about that with us. Are we trying to store up our barns full of stuff for tomorrow and not taking care of today? Like, do we think we have arrived, but actually we still have a journey to go? Like, where are we? And we need God to let strengthen our faith, you know?
You know, I keep thinking of, Proverbs 3:5-6, where we have to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding. I think of, why do sheep settle for the muddy puddles? Is because that's their own understanding.
Yep.
That's their perspective, that this is all there is. Mm-hmm. Or even just, I'm okay with just the do. Yep. Right. But we stop moving into the more that God has for us, because this is really what, this is my perspective, my opinion. And the shepherd is going, if you would just not lean on your own opinion and follow me, I have this pool of quiet waters ahead. You know, it's just like, it's sheep think they're right, right? The sheep think they're right. And they just need to remember their perspective is so, so limited. Like you said, Lark, because their head is down.
We just settle. Yeah. I think we settle. You know, we just settle. But so the next line is, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, you know, in the right paths, as you had said. And sheep are creatures of habit, right? So if they're led, if they're to do their own thing, they're going to create ruts in their path. They're going to destroy the pasture and turn it into a desert wasteland, and they're going to pollute their own land, right? And so a good shepherd keeps them on the move and moves them from one pasture to the next so that the pasture can recover and bloom even greater, and they can go back to it. And the cool thing is, when they're being led from one pasture to the other, they get excited. They get excited to be in that new pasture. And I would encourage everyone listening that as you're moving from one season to the next, and you don't know why or what's coming, be excited about what God is going to do. Be excited about what's coming in that pasture. Like, God has good things in store for you, and it's exciting. And we should just have a little skip in our step, because that is like what the sheep do. And that's how we want to be, right? So we should be filled with excitement about what's coming next, not grieving what we're leaving behind. And that's, it's a process, and it's hard, and it, and God is patient with us as we move from that to the next, right? But as we mourn, say, Lord, I need your help to move to excitement. Help me have that spring in my step and look forward to what you're doing in this next season, because it's exciting.
That's a word, huh, Laura?
It is a word. It's a word.
A word.
Yeah. For a lot of different things were going through my mind when you were saying that, because if the sheep were taken back to that pasture that they didn't belong in anymore, like you were saying earlier, they would destroy that pasture. Yeah. And so staying in the place that we're in too long, because we don't want to go into the next, because we don't want to leave behind what was, which is what we want to do, right? We don't want to move ahead. We want to stay where we were. We liked it. But we actually will end up damaging something in the process, whether it's those around us or our own hearts or our minds or whatever it might be. So again, it's like sheep don't get the whole picture, and they, you know, they're stupid, like you said, but we, we just want to be those people, those sheep that don't do that, right? That
right,
we kind of say,
right.
it doesn't matter if I see the whole picture. If the shepherd's leaving the pen, so am I, right?
Yes.
I don't have to see the whole picture because, man, we've all been in places for too long where we've seen
Yes.
things go down that should not have happened if we had all been obedient at the right time. So anyway, that's a good word right there. Amen is right.
Amen. All right, let's keep going. Next line, which this part is one of my favorite parts. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Those are the key words, walk through. This is not an ending point. This is not a here and it's over. You're walking through. And so for the sheep, the shepherd has gone ahead and said, this is the best way to get these high lands where you're just going to be so nourished and you're going to have so much enjoyment up here, but this is the best way. And it's going to be a little scary at times, but the slope is gentle. I'm going to lead you gently and lovingly, and you need to follow me and you need to trust me as we walk through these dark places. And so it's a move through. It's not an end. And I think sometimes people hear this and they think it's just an end, and, or sometimes it's just the disappointments and the frustrations, but remember, God is taking you to the next level with him and he wants you to follow him. And that's awesome. And these gentle grades are also well watered. So you're being refreshed along the way. So look for those times of refreshment, even in that shadow that you're having a hard time in. Look for those times of refreshments because they're there. He is always with us. He's always, always with us. And then that leads right into the next verse. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So I just want to real quick, you know, the sheep find comfort by seeing that rod and the staff. Why? Okay. The rod was the main weapon of defense for the shepherd. So the sheep seeing that know that the shepherd's going to come to their rescue to protect them from predators and things like that, right? It's a symbol of strength, power, and authority. And the shepherd does use it for, this is key, discipline, examination and counting, and protection. And so the examination is sometimes the part, and the staff is also a part of that examination. The shepherd uses that to look through the wool, to make sure everybody's there, to see, is there anything going on that I need to heal? Do I need to add ointment to this sheep? Do I need to shear the wool? Do I need to do a dip to get rid of the parasites and things like that? You know, and the staff and the rod together bring that sheep close, and he looks through for that examination. And then the staff is the symbol of concern and compassion. And so it's used mainly for drawing sheep together in an intimate way, like a mother, you and the lamb, bringing them close together. A sheep that starts to go astray, turning is to their own way. Like you said earlier, Laura, it's to bring them back. That staff is an extension of the shepherd's arm. So it can reach so much further to bring that sheep back close to them. And the presence of the shepherd, being as close to the shepherd as we can, is the safest place to be in the herd. So where do you want to be in the herd? Do you want to be on the outskirts where you're asking for trouble? Or do you want to be super close to the shepherd? I want to be close to the shepherd, you know, and that's why I just love this podcast. It's helping people come close to the shepherd. So you're in the safest place you can be.
Amen.
You know, when I think back to the hard places, right, that all of us have walked through, those hard seasons of our lives, it was when I clung close to his presence, I really protected that one-on-one time with him. I was in the word, looking hungrily for him to speak to me and listening to the Holy Spirit speak to me. He deposited truth and comfort in my heart in those places that I think you miss it. You know, when you're in the high places, when your things are all good, the deepest connection I have ever felt to the Father has been in the hard place, but it comes through the word, his presence and his spirit. And those are strong takeaways. So when you're out of that hard season, I look back on that. And then I'm really thankful that he allowed me to walk through it and that he showed up, you know, when I asked him to show me that you were there, and he did it through those things you're talking about. And you can be grateful at that point that you walked through it.
He's always there with us. And it's just us asking, God, open my eyes to your presence here, because I know you're with me and I need your comfort right now. You know, I need you to comfort me. Help me to see that you're there, because he is, and he loves us. And so it's just us recognizing it, that he's there. All right, let's keep going so we can finish up. Okay. The next line, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so again, that is the shepherd going ahead, painstakingly preparing the land so that when he leads the sheep up this path, the valley of the shadow of death, that they are full and nourished and are excited to be there. And it's just an amazing gift. And I would just ask our listeners, do we fully appreciate all that Jesus has done to painstakingly prepare the way for us to enter eternity with the Father? Because he has. He endured the cross for each of us, for our sins and our shame, so that we don't have to carry that anymore. We can have that wool sheared right off of us, and we can walk freely and energetically because he endured the cross for us. And now that he has risen again, he lives to intercede on our behalf.
Amen.
He lives to intercede on our behalf. And that is a gift. Do we appreciate that? Because if we do appreciate that, when we live, we will live richly. When we walk, we will walk with quiet assurance. We will know that we have good things. And we will know something of the shepherd's love for us. Even if it's not, we're never going to grasp the full picture. But if we get a glimpse here and now, that is a piece of heaven that we get to have right now. And that's exciting. That's just really exciting. Amen. And then you anoint my head with oil. Okay, so this oil for a sheep was used for a couple purposes. It was to relieve the agonizing annoyance of the flies. It was to prevent spreading of disease. And it was to prevent them from killing each other. Actually. So, you know, the annoyance, they just put the oil on to help with the flies. I don't need to get into a bunch of that, but to prevent the disease. Once one of them got a disease, it spread very quickly through. So the shepherd had to be very aware if somebody, it's called scab. And so if somebody, one of the sheep got that, so that he could take care of it and stop it from spreading among the flock, you know, and then the my favorite one is to prevent them from killing each other. So the males would get into competition to strut their stuff in front of the females. And so they would butt heads, right? But they could really hurt each other doing that. So the shepherd saw that, he would rub the oil on their head. So when they went to butt, they would just miss and, and really just embarrass themselves instead of accomplishing the task that they were. And so we are called to be content, you know, like allow the Lord to relieve and prevent things in our lives. And I just thought that, and sometimes in churches, we're trying to butt heads with others and, you know, make ourselves known. And it's like, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God's glory and making it known to those around us, not, oh, I got him, you know, and so I should be doing this or I should be doing that. Like, think about how many friction situations have been caused in church. And it's like, okay, everybody back up, everybody back up, get back to your place. It's about God's glory, not yours. Right. And then this last part, my cup overflows. That is moving back down the mountain. So now they've been in the high tablelands and they have enjoyed this refreshment and they are full and they are strong and they are fit. It's the healthiest the sheep are throughout the whole year once they get to that tableland. So like Debbie, you had said about going up in that dark place, you're getting close with the shepherd, right? And then you're in the tablelands and you are restored and renewed and energetic. And then you're coming back down. And when you come back down, you're feeling good. But even in those times of coming back down the mountain, it is safe and it's prepared, but storms can squall up quickly in that autumn season, right? And sometimes the shepherd said, that could have been one of the hardest times with my sheep. But it brought us so close together. It brought us so close. And that suffering, my cup overflows. Think of Jesus' suffering on the cross. And we are to share in his suffering, right? He is a man of sorrows, one who knows grief. And we get to experience that with him just a touch here and there throughout our seasons of life here on earth.
You know, as you're talking about that, I'm just reflecting on the fact that when we're on a journey, similar to what you're talking about, we tend to think the hard part is going up the hill. And so we're, oh man, another flight of steps, another flight of steps. Dan and I just walked this crazy amount of steps on vacation last week. And I was like, I cannot do another flight of steps. So we think that the hardest part is going up. And yet I am the first one to fall down the steps, right? To have my foot fall out from under me. Why? Because I think going down is so easy. It doesn't exert, I think, the energy. And so I tend to go a little faster than I should. And when I go faster than I should, my feet flip out from under me and I end up on my butt, right? So I just think that's interesting because we do tend in life to think that when we're going downhill, everything's a piece of cake. And yet that's the time that we need to be so focused on following the shepherd at his pace, not at our own pace, not running ahead because it's just downstairs. I can do whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't think you hear, I fell up the steps as many times as you hear, I fell down the steps, right? Mm-hmm. Because we let it slide. The mm-hmm. hard part seems to be over. And yet the intentionality of following the shepherd, on the way down, you know what? Is the same.
I'm gonna put a physical therapy thing in there. Going up the steps really challenges your strength of your muscles. Going down the steps is a matter of control. Mm. It's a different kind of strength. It's strength under control. Mm. And when you have an area of weakness, because your weight is now coming down on your legs, the areas of weakness become more evident because it's challenging the control. So think about what you're making this parallel, right? Mm-hmm. We're it's a strength challenge. Will I keep following him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my perseverance, right? He has us climb a lot of shorter mountains to get ready for the bigger mountains of mm-hmm. hard times. But when you start going down, you start feeling like I got this.
Yeah.
I've got this. And so Val, you're talking about following the pace of the shepherd. I've got this.
Yeah.
And that attitude is actually a weakness. And that's when you trip up.
Yeah.
I like that strength of control. I think that that's really good. I think that that's really good. And as we move on, the surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These verses are so good because Jesus pursues us. He pursues us. And do we let him? And our good shepherd has good management of us because there are bad shepherds. And bad shepherds don't have good management and they let their sheep destroy the areas that they live. And those sheep are weak and frail and diseased and awful, right? But our good shepherd pursues us and loves us and wants us to leave behind something worthwhile from where we move from, when we move from one area to the other, what are we leaving behind? And so we can ask ourselves, do I leave behind peace or turmoil? Do I leave behind forgiveness or bitterness? Do I leave behind joy or frustration? Do I leave behind love or hatred? You know, what is following me? What would people say I leave behind as I walk through?
Yeah.
Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. And then the last part here is I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's back home. You're finally back home. You know, how do you feel after a trip and you get back home? You know, I am from the Philadelphia area. I live in South Jersey and I was just away. And even flying into Philly and then getting out, if you've been to the Philadelphia airport, you know, it is not the nicest airport. It's dirty. Whatever, but it doesn't matter. I walk in, I go, I'm home.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's Philly.
I'm home, but I love it. I love being here. Like, I do love it and just coming home. And that same joy, it's like we should delight in describing all that Jesus has just done in our life, right? Like, we were at the pasture and then he took us up the mountain and then we were at the top and now we just came back down the side and all the things that happened in between. You know, like, I can't wait to tell people about my trip. And I happened to be at this fancy dinner and I asked the gentleman, how are you doing? That was serving me. And he goes, I've had a phenomenal day. And I was like, oh, well, why? Why did you have a phenomenal day? He goes, I became a US citizen today. And I was like, today? Like, really? Like, today? And he's like, today. And I was like, And he's like, you want to see a picture? And we were like, sure. It's my husband and I. And so he shows, we're like, oh my gosh, congrats. So we're like, you know, dressed to the nines. And we're like, whoa, like we're cheering from and acting ridiculous. And my husband goes, can I shake your hand? And he's like, sure. And he has to move the tray to the other hand. So he can shake my husband's hand. And then my husband always wears a flag pin. And he goes, I love that I live in the United States and I'm super thankful. And so I wear a flag pin. And so I'm going to give this to you. And he takes it and he pins the gentleman. And that is just being excited about what God has done in our lives. That was part of my trip. And I can't wait to tell everybody that I met somebody who became a United States citizen today. You know, like how exciting is that? And that's how we should be in our relationship with Christ. We should be so excited about the journey we've been on with him and the presence he's been with us that we want to share that with everyone. And that's being a good sheep.
Amen.
So that is Psalm 23 in a nutshell.
Girl, you did it.
Wow.
And you know what? Again, this whole seasons, this whole month of seasons, and Laura and I are in seasons. Everybody's in a season, but you know, when you're in it and if you're in it, and it's a challenging in it. There was a lot in this podcast that I know I'm looking at Laura. She's looking at me and we're like, yeah, this is speaking to me. This sounds like something great to chew on. So I just want to thank you, Val, for once again, you're just downright fun to do a podcast with. And absolutely, I'm sure the ladies from Ocean City are thrilled to have you speaking. You're becoming a very well-known face there. But Laura, what's coming up? What's coming up ahead next week on week three?
Next week, we continue in seasons, and I'm excited about it. We're going to talk about how to thrive when seasons change. Ah, man, that's a hard one, isn't it? Like, I don't know, but we can. The Word of God says we can. And depending on the season that we're in, it might look different for all of us, but we can thrive when seasons change, right? We don't have to curl up on the floor in a ball. We can get out of the bed and live our best life that God has for us. And so that's what we're going to look at next week. Val, it has been a joy to be with you. I know I am going to download this podcast when it comes out and I'm going to share it because it really was really full. That was what it was. It was full of truth that everyone can apply to their life. So thank you for being with us today. Hope to see you again here very soon. And we're just grateful to be here. So I know that if you have heard this podcast, you want to share it. There is somebody in your circle, in your flock, right, that actually needs to hear this word. And so we would encourage you to share it as well with those around you. So for Deb, for Val, and for myself, we want to say thanks for being with us today. God bless you, whatever season you're in. If you need prayer, you can always reach out to us, beyondwomensconference@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and pray with you. So God bless you. Take care. And we'll talk to you soon.
We hope that this episode has encouraged your heart and has deepened your understanding of Scripture and has made you thirst for the more that the Father has specifically for you. If you've been blessed by this, would you consider sharing it with your friends? And thank you so much for joining Laura and myself today.